Nun Gimel. We're finishing up the piece on Rachmanus Vachzarius. The Etahara very cleverly sometimes convinces us of things that are really great kindness. He convinces us that it's a real bummer to be involved with it. Tochacha, Lamashal, we spoke about last time. Tochacha, to rebuke someone, to help them find their way back onto the path of life, is the greatest kindness you can do for them. And yet, I don't know, what should I do? What should I say? How am I going to say it? And then maybe you don't know how to say it, so then you probably shouldn't say it. But if you think you do know how to say it, and you just feel bad that you're going to kind of say something to someone, so don't feel bad. Realize that you're helping them by guiding them back to the path. Tefillah, he concludes the piece by saying that tefillah is another good example of this. A tefillah l'mal min hakol. Tefillah really is the highest thing of all. We're four lines from the bottom on page Nun Gimel. Hatfila l'malam min hakol. Hadavar achashiv amo biyoser la'adam hu hatfila. One of the most chashiv things, if not the most chashiv thing that we have, is the ability to communicate with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Achachazam magdirim zos bepasuk lo sochlu al adam kodim shetispalu al damcha. Do not eat on the blood. Means, do not eat prior to davening for your blood. Which means what? That as essential as food is, and as essential as food is to the existence of man, a person couldn't survive a very long time at all without food. So the Torah is telling us the same thing is true about tefillah. You couldn't survive very long without tefillah either. It's essential to your existence. And therefore even more important than that bagel, or more important than that bowl of cereal, right, is the tefillah. That's going to sustain your goof. Shatfilah hi. Kedei lahachios hanefesh v'adam. Tefillah energizes a person's body. Gives you existence itself. Hayesh chesed galu mizeh shenitin rishos la'adam. La'amod lefnei Hashem yisparach l'espalel al nafsho v'damo. Taf ha'pesh min dalit. Ha'kadosh baruch hu mazin elav. Can you think of anything more generous that Ha'kadosh baruch hu gives you the opportunity to come before him, to supplicate before the king, to ask whatever it is that you desire, in any way that you desire, whenever you desire, when malachim in the heavens are waiting countless amounts of years before they're able to even have the opportunity to come before Kadosh Baruch Hu, to even utter a tefillah that is forced upon them, that has a set number of words, before they're quickly passed on and they re-enter that process of tefillah in fiery, you know, streams and all sorts of things that the Sfarim HaKadoshim describe what a malach has to go through just to get ready to say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And we walk into shul, half asleep, throw on your tefillin, and a couple times a day we're mumbling kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. But what an opportunity. And you don't have to use that tefillin. You want to use your own words? So use your own words. You can talk to Hashem whenever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. And we believe in such a koach. V'atfilah l'chuna tamud v'fi chazal rachamim. Chazal referred to tefillah as rachamim. L'miboy rachamim. That a person should ask for rachamim. Rachamim in what sense? Not rachamim only in the sense that you can ask for things and ask Hashem to have mercy upon you. But just the very fact that Hashem lets you talk to him is itself rachamim. What is chus? V'chein amru al taz tefilascha kva, don't let your tefillah be set, ela rachamim v'tachanunim lefnei ha-makom. Realize that the tefillah itself, the opportunity to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is rachamim. Whether you get what you want or you don't get what you want, it's rachmanis on you that Hashem lets you speak to him. Shekol kula eina el letovas ha-adam shirucham in ha-shamayim. To give you the opportunity that Hashem should have mercy on you, that itself is merciful. What does the Yitzhara do? It's how it comes and he tells you tefillah is so burdensome, tefillah is so annoying. He makes it something that we practice by rote, or we don't practice at all. And we spend years and years and years, like the Rav used to say, like Rav Soloveitchik would say, that American Jews want to have davened, not to daven, which means we want to be able to check it off our list. But v'aldavar nitva la'adam dafka binyan zeh, the Yitzhara comes at a person very strong, very strongly in this area called tefillah. And the Yitzhar turns this great rachmanis, this unbelievable kindness called prayer, called tefillah, called connection. Tefillah is a lashon of connection to Hashem, to connect to the divine. And all of a sudden he tells you, it's cruelty, it's difficulty, it's painful. And the second you stand up to daven, all of a sudden this heaviness sets in. You walk into shul, you find your seat, and you're immediately, you know, looking for last week's announcements just to survive davening. And like how many times you need to read about, you know, who sponsored Kiddush the week before. Poker Tov. This is not going to help you today, but you can take it. It's going to help you tomorrow. Or maybe the next day. We still have 2 pages before we get to that. Right? You see people, you'll do anything other than look in the sitter. You'll find any scrap of anything to read. You'll read about, you know, updates in Israel. You'll read Divrei Torah from like third grade boys. You'll like do anything other than, God forbid I should have to look in the sitter and start try to talk in a meaningful way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where does that come from? If it's L'mebay Rachamei, if it's Rachmanus, that the king is letting you walk into his home, Kiviyachol, and speak to him, so why are we looking for anything and everything else to do? The answer is that the Baal Davar, the Yetzirah, turns this great Rachmanus into something burdensome. Right? It becomes a heavy thing upon us. In the Medrash on Eicha, Medrash Rabbah on Eicha, there's a very long introduction. The Psichta takes up almost as much as the Sefer itself. Not literally, but a lot. There's a lot of introduction. So in Os Yud, of the introduction to Eicha, it says the following. And I love this Medrash. I don't love it because I love it. It's a very tragic Medrash. But I love it because it's so true. And I usually quote this every single year during the 3 weeks. But we're never going to have 3 weeks again. So the last year was the last time I quoted it. But what does it say in the Medrash? Tron kol yom avlo la'e, ulitzluye kamay atlai. Right, Tron, no saving, no thing. All week, you're busy, and you have endless amount of energy for your business and for your stocks and for your clients. You can stay in your office till 2 in the morning, and get up the next morning at 6 to get back to the office, all for money. Kol yom of a low lie. You can work all day and not low lie, not get tired. Utsuluye kamai, and you come to daven before me. Atloy, and all of a sudden you're exhausted. Adam Osik Basakov Kolayom Ve'ino Bali De Ayef Vesrakash Megia Shas Tfila Hum Is Ayef. So what's the pshat, says Hashem? Why can't I be in the Lashon of the Medrash? There's two Midrashim in Eicha actually like this. They're very similar. One of the Midrashim says a mashal of a nobleman who makes a party, and he invites everyone except for who? Except for the king. He says even the poor people were invited to come along to, you know, to at least have dessert. So the king finds out about this, and he says to this nobleman, he says, couldn't you have at least treated me like the poor people, to not invite me at all? So Hashem says, I understand, your business is the most important thing in your life. Making money is the most important thing in your life. But can I at least be like second tier? Can I be like third tier in your friends? In the things, in your priorities in life? Can I have a little bit of a place? And no, what happens? For everything else, you have an endless amount of energy. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we literally can't keep our eyes open. So where does that come from? If it's such a good thing to feel us, where does that come from? It comes from a fact that the Yetzer Hara is very vicious in these matters. V'rav tzavas ator. And he concludes the piece. He says, look in the tzava, look in the last will and testament of the Torah. Mashakosav al shas atfila. Sha'azu azman shal ketifas haperos. What does it mean, ketifas haperos? Ketifas haperos. You're a farmer, you've been working. Ketifas haperos, the gathering of the fruits. Sha'azman ma'ula ha'meshubach v'yosu mikol avodas ha'adamah. Right? There's the plowing, there's the planting, there's the watering, there's the nurturing, and you're doing everything. And finally it comes time to now what? To enjoy the fruits. So tefillah is when we come to collect. Tefillah is when we actually get something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet that opportunity, all of this hachana, all of this preparation for your neshama to come to this world, to then be able to talk to Hashem from this distant place, but to reconnect from here. And yet, when the time finally comes, you step out on the court, your neshama is sent to this world, after waiting. We're the neshamas of the Ikhs of the Mashiach. That means we've been waiting. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says, one of the reasons we have such a Yiras Adoros is that there's an idea that there's a Makom in Shemayim where all the neshamas are stored. And going back to the original Zuhamas HaNachash, the filth, the poison of the Nachash, contaminated that. You know, it was like a drop of poison fell into this bucket where our neshamas are sitting. So that means we've been sitting in the dirt for a long time. Which is why our neshamas feel so heavy sometimes. So finally, after all this time, Hashem sent a lot of people to this world before us. Finally, Hashem decides to send us down at the end of days. And here we have the opportunity to try to, you know, we finally, after waiting a long time to get out on the playing field, to get out on the court. We finally have our opportunity. And what happens? You step out on the court and you don't even try. You don't give it your all. So chaval, after all this work, kativas aperos, it's time to collect. It's time to do something real. And a person becomes lazy. The most chashuv of the avodas and nefesh. It's something that stands at the heights of the universe. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav. And you have people treat it as if it's not even anything. Again, halavai, Hashem says, let me be your dessert. If I'm not going to be the main course, let me be a little something on the side. Side dish. The Kaddish Baruch Hu's beautiful gift of tefillah becomes garbage in the eyes of man. Why? Because the Baal Davar, again, is very vicious in these inyanim. And come back to that piece we've mentioned from Rabbi Nachman. The three tefillahs of the day correspond to the Gimel Mochin, corresponds to three different categories or types of Rachmanis, three different opportunities to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Chaval that we throw it away. We don't appreciate the gift of tefillah. All right, let's start the next piece. We spoke in one of the earliest pieces about tshuva, and the fact that tshuva is hard for us to understand, why tshuva even makes sense. It doesn't make sense. It makes sense because Hashem declared it a mitzvah. But let's start. It's a little bit of a couple pages, but let's start the piece. Inyan ha-tshuva hu davar niflamot. Tshuva is a wondrous thing. As we explained previously, she'al malei ha'isa mitzvah min ha-Torah lo haya muvan klal. If not for the fact that it's a mitzvah, it wouldn't make any sense. Why would I sit around lamenting my past when I could be living my present? If a person, unfortunately, has a difficulty, a person loses money, and the like, does it make sense for him to stand around crying over what happened? Crying over the money that was lost? Standing there as his ship is sinking in the ocean, standing on the shore, standing there just crying? If he's smart, he says, listen, what's done is done. It's time to move on. And start planning how I'm going to build a new ship. That's going to be more powerful. It's going to be more successful than this one. You're going to stand there crying. Again, it's natural to feel that pain. But practically, rationally, it makes sense to pick up and move on. What happened, happened. There's nothing I can do. I can't change it. I can't go back in time. Adrabah, chaval is mani yakar. Why waste the precious time now? You're standing here worrying about the money that's lost already, instead of spending that time making more money. Why would you stand there, stand around, just again mourning your loss? And furthermore, it's totally impractical and illogical for a person to worry about something that's not within his hands to fix. You can't get it back. What's done is done. If you remember with David HaMelech, you remember the Baisa? David HaMelech, when his son was definitely sick, David HaMelech refused to be comforted. And after he passed away, he was totally fine. He said, David, now that he died, he said, yeah, now that he's gone, I have to be makabel, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. When he was still alive, I did everything within my ability to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise let this child live. But now that the child's gone, I have to pick up, I have to be makabel, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no reversing what's been done. And I have to move on in a strong way. V'il inyan chatei ha'adam. And yet when it comes to chatam, la'achar shechata upagam rachmana l'slan, after a person did an avera, and he damaged himself, v'garam l'chorban olamos elyonim, mitzuvahu sheyivcha v'yisrachim. All of a sudden, yischarit. It's all of a sudden, when it comes to tshuva, a person does an avera, and he is supposed to spend time crying over it, and feeling badly about it, having terrible charata and regret over it. What's the pshat? Move on with your life. And we know that that's true. Within a Torah Shkafa, there is an aspect of go weiter. Aseto, Sor Meira, Vaseto, Sor Meira through Aseto. We learned it one of the Svasem Eschanakashir, to just move forward. And yet we know there's this Indian of revisiting our past, of crying and mourning the mistakes that we've made. So what's the Pshat in Tshuva? Ubir Adavar. This is a Tamud Bibriya Miyuched Shal Tshuva. This is the unique world, the unique creation of Tshuva. She'ei muvanak kemisha bocha al beis l'shenechot. It's not to be understood simply like a person who cries over a house that's been burnt to the ground. Ba'al sfinaso she'tava b'yah, or a boat that drowned at sea, that sunk at sea. She'zeh lo tachas lo matara. To mourn something like that, a house that's been reduced to ashes, it's not going to rebuild the house. Ela bechi shel tshuva okir asachet meikar. But the chiddush of tshuva is that tshuva is literally time travel. Tshuva gives a person the ability to go back in time and to uproot the chet meikar as if it never happened. And even more than that, to rewrite the story that it could become a mitzvah. Tshuva me'ava, your averos become mitzvos. Ve'avei ki'ilo me'olam lo chata. You know, they say from, I want to say Rav Pinchas Koritzer, I don't remember who I saw this from, I have to check. But they say from some of the tzaddikim, that the whole Indian, Pesach's coming, the whole Indian of going down to the water to draw the water for the baking of the matzah, is going back to the same place where we threw away our veros, tashlich, and now we're ready to collect, ready to take our mitzvos back. Why? Because hopefully through that process of tshuva, over the course of time, now those same averos we once threw away, we want to get them back. We want to draw back from that same water where we went to throw away all of our averos. Right? Not throwing the pieces of bread. That's not going to actually work. It's probably going to be pretty bad for the matzah. That's a raya. You're not supposed to throw bread. Even though I know it's minog modern orthodoxy to throw bread when you do tashlich. But okay. Maybe it's a minog talus. Right? But to go back to the same place where you dropped off your averos and say, now it's Pesach. We're going to be singing Shira Shira. We're going to reach these high levels of Avas Hashem that we can't attain at any other point. The Seder night, the heights of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yeah, I want those Averos back. I want to make a precise calculation of every single one of them. Why? Because now my mitzvos are, my Averos have become mitzvos. So that's what they say by some of the tzaddikim. Part of the cheshvan, mayim shalanu, to get the waters and to prepare the waters for the baking of the matzah. So that's what happens. When you do tshuva, it uproots the chet and it transforms the chet even into the realm of a mitzvah. Like the Ram describes in the 7th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, that the Baal Tshuva becomes mamish, a different person. The Lashon Rambam, the most magnificent Lashon Rambam. Yesterday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated your guts and he thought you were a manuvel, you're a disgusting human being. And today, you're Ahov and you're Nechmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. You're Karov, he calls you Yedid. Beautiful, beautiful Lashonos in the Rambam. Hashem created, therefore, this magnificent world called Tshuva. It preceded the world itself, like the Gemara says in Psachim. Dafnu Dalid, he davar mufla kazeh, she akor davar lemafreya, lo shayach b'chukei habriya, haragilim asher lefaneinu. It has to be from lemalam and ateva. The world of tshuva has to precede the world because the world operates within a certain seder, a certain natural order. Tshuva is the very antithesis of order. Tshuva means that I can go out of order. I can go back in time. I can change. I can rewrite history. So therefore, it has to exist. It has to precede the world. It has to exist outside the chukei hateva, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter. Umuvan b'zeh heitev mashamuva b'lukut maran. And now we understand a little more, and we'll describe even more tomorrow. We'll learn it. We'll stop after this. But Rabbi Nachman explains that when it comes to this world called tshuva, shetshuva ubechiras lamal minizman haynu bitel hazmanim heim bechina achas. The world of tshuva and the concept of something being lamalam and azman are one and the same. It's one bechina. It's one, there's a common aspect. That tshuva is probably one of the greatest. If you're going to pick a mitzvah that expresses the ability to be lamalam and ateva, lamalam and azman, tshuva is that expression of being lamalam and azman. And that's why they say that tshuva, and we'll talk a little more about it tomorrow, but tshuva is connected to the world of bina, the olam of bina. And bina, if you count from the spheros from the bottom up, makes sense what I'm saying? Bina is 8. Kasser Chachma Bina. Yeah. If you count from the bottom up, right, so Bina is 8, which is Lamal Minatev, 8 is always Mohammed's, everything in this world operates in terms of sevens. 8 is Lamal Minateva. And again, that's the world of Tshuva. To be able to go back in time to reverse the damage that's been done, which is really a great Pella. And we'll talk more about that meaning of Pella tomorrow by Tshuva. Alright, anyways, we shouldn't let the Yitzhar destroy our davening. And we shouldn't let the Yitzhar convince us that Tshuva doesn't make sense. There are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in this world that are beyond our simple rationale. We should just be the Kabbalah, these great gifts, and use them well.